There it is, a little bit of game show music for you. Welcome to the Catholic Answers Game Show. I'm Cy Kellett, your game show host. And Carla Broussard will be our super secret celebrity guest helping us through. Carlo, thanks for being here for the game show. Thanks for coming back.
Cy, thanks for having me, buddy. It's always great to do the game show. And like you said in the previous hour, it's been a while since we've done it. So here we are.
We'll see if we remember it. I know I was just starting right there thinking, I don't actually remember all the stuff I'm supposed to say. I know I'm supposed to say this. You can play along at home. So I will ask our contestants, Amy and Jim, who I will introduce momentarily. I will ask them to let me read the question twice for each question. So get out a piece of paper, get out a pencil. Wake up, Grandma and Grandpa. Gather the kids. It's time for the whole family to play the Catholic Answers game show. You can even play along in the car. Just please keep your eyes on the road. I'll go over the rules momentarily, and then we will get right to the questions. But let's meet our contestants. Contestant one is Jim. Jim, are you there with us?
I'm here.
Hello, Jim. Where are you, and what's interesting about you?
I'm in Cleveland Heights, Ohio, and... my wife and I honeymooned in San Diego, California, and we got all our transportation was airport shuttles, and we rented bicycles. One more thing about the bicycles: at the time, they would deliver them and pick them up right at your hotel, so it was great.
Very nice. And did you like San Diego?
Yeah, very much.
All right, very good. Cleveland Heights. Does that mean you listen on the Rock? There in Cleveland, AM 1260 The Rock?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I also, I like to use the apps because the...
Oh, the app, too. Yeah. All right. Let's meet our contestant number two, Amy. Hello, Amy. Are you there with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, welcome. Thanks for coming. Where are you and what's interesting about you?
I'm in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And interesting about me is I have left the classroom teaching after 15 years to homeschool my children.
Oh, all right.
Very interesting.
That is very interesting.
Yes.
So now all your entire class is well-behaved and well-parented, right? You don't have any...
they don't know how to tell time yet. So when I put them down for a nap an hour early, all is good in my world, I think.
Oh, that is nice. That is yeah. Very nice.
I may hold off teaching that one for a while.
Yeah, right. Or just teach them wrong. Well, no, don't do that, Amy. You wouldn't want to do that.
You don't have to teach all the truth at one time.
Right, you can withhold.
Progression of stages. Our God did that with the people of Israel in the Old Testament. Parents can do it with their children.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Jim, I'm sorry, but Amy is very well rested. She gets an extra hour of nap time each day. So good luck to you on this. Have either of you ever heard or seen the game show before?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, you have. Okay. Well, I'm going to go over the rules just for those at home then. And then if you have any questions about the rules, we'll get those answered and then we'll get right into the game show. The game show is in three parts. We have round one, round two, and then round three, which we call your final judgment. Round three is a single player round. It's all true or false questions. And that is for the winner of rounds one and two. Rounds one and two each are three question rounds for each guest or for each contestant. The questions are multiple choice, A, B, or C, or one. I can't remember how I do it different ways each time. Yeah, A, B, and C this time. Okay, so you will have two lifelines, or what we call after lifelines here on Catholic Answers Live, and you can use them anytime in round one or round two, but once you've used it, you don't get it back. Like if you use it in round one, they don't come back in round two. The lifelines are, Carlo can eliminate one wrong answer. You can just say, Carlo, take one answer away, and he'll say, it's not C or something. And then you go, okay, it's 50-50 now. It's between A and B. The other one is you can just ask Carlo to give you the correct answer, and Carlo will give you the correct answer. Are all those instructions clear to you?
Yes.
Yes.
Did I leave anything out?
Yes.
What did I leave out? Oh, God, Jim knows too. What did I leave out, Amy?
Carlo will answer the question in Pig Latin.
He will have to answer the question in Pig Latin, which I don't know. Over the years, Carlo has definitely improved in his Pig Latin. He's gotten much better. So that means, because I love to hear Carlo do Pig Latin, if you don't use this last line, lifeline, I will ask you to use it on the last question of round two, just so we get some Pig Latin from Carlo. All right?
On condition that my Pig Latin doesn't mess them up.
Yeah, it won't. We haven't had that problem yet. Oh, he did the wrong answer in Pig Latin. No, that has not come up yet.
Okay.
One last thing. If we get to if we get finished with rounds one and two and there's a tie, we do have a tiebreaker. And Jim, because he's contestant one, and that's just that goes by whoever got on the, we got on the line first. He picks A or B, and then I open box whatever box he picks, and that tells us who's going on to the final judgment. That does it. We are ready. I will remind you again, just let me read the question twice so that families playing along at home have time to get their answers down. Jim, you are first. You ready?
Yep.
Jim is ready to go. Jim, the modern rejection of absolute truth is often referred to as A, consequentialism, B, relativism, or C, immorality. Once again, the modern rejection of absolute truth is often referred to as A, consequentialism, B, relativism, or C, immorality.
I believe that would be B, relativism.
Nicely done. Nicely done. Now, Carlo, I'm going to let you say something to Jim, but if you, I'm going to offer you a free prize if you can guess why I put that question on this quiz.
Does Carlo possibly have a new book?
All right.
But hold on, Si. Can't get that prize unless he answers this question right. Did you read that book?
No.
Well, he answered it right. He answered it right. He just didn't read the book.
He didn't read the book yet.
All right.
All right. Well, I tell you what. We'll definitely make sure you get a copy, Jim, so that you can read the book.
I'll tell you what, because I didn't give Amy the opportunity. They both won a copy of The New Relativism, Carlo's new book. All right, Amy, you ready for question number one?
I hope so, too.
The code of ecclesiastical laws governing the Catholic Church is called A, divine law, B, canon law, or C, the Catechism. Once again, the code of ecclesiastical laws governing the Catholic Church is called A, divine law, B, canon law, or C, the Catechism.
I believe it's canon law.
She didn't give the answer. She just said, I believe it's canon law. She gave herself wiggle room. Don't give her the ding until she commits. You are correct.
Okay, I'm committed. Canon law.
Well, yes. Yeah, you're committed now.
I got the ding.
It is canon law.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a tricky question, Si, because within the code of canon law, there are some theological truths that are embedded in there, but primarily ecclesiastical laws, church laws. All that refers to is the law of the church, right? Governing the life of the church, the majority of which are disciplinary in nature, right? Something that's not infallible teaching on faith and morals. So good job, Amy.
Thank you.
People always say, Carlo, why do we have to have all these laws? So I just want
I'd like to ask the same person, why does our country have all these laws, right? Well, some of them might be debatable, but the law in general, right? Why do we have law in general anyway? It's for the good of the life of the society, whether that society is the family, that society is Catholic Answers, that society is the culture at large or our diocese. Laws are good because they provide order and parameters that everyone is aware of in order to live in peace and harmony, right? Which is a good thing. And so laws, generally speaking, are good to order the group towards the common good.
That actually brings us to the first break. So we are tied right now 1-1. Amy and Jim are our contestants. It's the Catholic Answers Game Show. We'll be right back with more Game Show right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live. Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
Hosting Women Made New has helped me deepen my own faith, and I look forward to every weekend having those in-depth discussions with my guests. It's been such a blessing being a part of the EWTN family and carry on the mission that Mother Angelica started.
Women Made New, Saturday noon Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Back to the Catholic Answers Live game show. I didn't realize that Amy's kids are napping right now. So we're just going to have to do the entire game show quietly. Please do not wake up Amy's children. We're having a game show here, and we need her. We can't have her having to go. Carla Broussard is, sorry about that, Amy. Carla Broussard is our guest. We're on round one. It's question number two for our contestant, Jim. And Jim, here you go. Usually an archbishop leads an archdiocese. But who else is often made an archbishop? A, an apostolic nuncio. B, the founder of a religious order. Or C, the abbot of a major religious house. Once again, usually an archbishop leads an archdiocese. But who else is often made an archbishop? A, an apostolic nuncio. B, the founder of a religious order. Or C, the abbot of a major religious house?
I'm going to have to go to the Pig Latin.
Oh, wow.
Wow. All right. Igpe Atenle, Arlo K.
All right. You ready, Jim? Here we go. Nae postalikai uncione.
You want me to read the answers to you again, Jim, or do you want Carla to do it again? Or you can have whatever you like in order.
I'd say that's pretty darn good.
I think you did very well, and I'm going to tell you why I think you did very well. That was Pig Latin of Latin. The word nuncio is a Latin word. So I don't think we've actually ever had this happen before where the Pig Latin doubled on top of actual real Latin. So
thanks for waiting.
Jim, do you want me to do it again or do you
just if Carlo can give me the answer in Pig Latin.
Okay. He wants you to give the answer again, Carlo.
All right. Answer again in Pig Latin. Nae postalicae uncione.
Okay, so that sounds like the apostolic nuncio.
Nicely done.
Thank you, Carl.
This is for all three of you. Does any of you know what an apostolic nuncio is? Anybody? There's no points or anything that comes with this. It's an ambassador. I'm sorry, I didn't let you answer. Some of you wanted to answer.
No, that's okay. That's what I was thinking. I was thinking it was someone that represents the Vatican.
Right. The Holy See. Right. Is that the
Holy See? Right.
That's their representative in various countries. All right, 1,000 extra points. Just name the apostolic nuncio to the United States. Go ahead, name them. Nope, me neither. Okay, well, I'm so glad nobody did because I wouldn't know if it was right or wrong. Amy, your second question. The Catholic doctrine of the particular judgment is about A, the eternal destiny of each separated soul as decided by God. B, a priest's judgment of particular sins in the confessional, or C, the ability to judge the rightness or wrongness of particular acts. Once again, the Catholic doctrine of particular judgment is about A, the eternal destiny of each separated soul as decided by God, B, a priest's judgment of particular sins in the confessional, or C, the ability to judge the rightness or wrongness of particular acts. Amy, you have A, B, or C, and you are frozen on my screen. That is right. Amy cannot answer because she is currently frozen on my screen. So continue playing the music while we wait for Amy to unfreeze. No, Jim, you cannot help. You cannot answer for Amy. We have to wait for Amy.
That's quite a smile she got there.
I know she's smiling. This is the best freeze I've ever seen. Like always, if the screen freezes and I'm on, it looks like I'm having very serious medical issues. But Amy froze, and just get her on the phone. Amy froze, and she looked nice when she froze. All right, I'll tell you what. I'm going to read the question again for those playing along at home. And I'm sure Amy will join us sometime in the midst of the reading of the question, and then we'll get her answer. The Catholic doctrine of particular judgment is about A, the eternal destiny of each separated soul as decided by God. B, a priest's judgment of particular sins in the confessional. Or C, the ability to judge the rightness of or wrongness of particular acts. Amy, I hear you are unfrozen. Have you got an answer for us?
I am.
Or do you need me to
I'm here, but I didn't hear the question.
Okay. I'm so sorry about that, Amy. Any chance we could notice a little earlier when someone freezes so that we can get them the question? Any shot that maybe we could pick up on the detail of the person not moving or breathing? All right, I'm just throwing that out to the people in the booth. All right, Amy, I'm going to give it to you. I'm sorry that you didn't hear it, and I'm sorry to those at home who have to hear it for the third time. The Catholic doctrine of the particular judgment is about A, the eternal destiny of each separated soul as decided by God. B, a priest's judgment of particular sins in the confessional. Or C, the ability to judge the rightness or wrongness of particular acts. Amy, do you want me to read it again?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good.
This is the fifth time I will read this
question. Okay. Amy, the doctrine of the particular judgment is about A, the eternal destiny of each separated soul as decided by God. B, a priest's judgment of particular sins in the confessional. Or C, the ability to judge the rightness or wrongness of particular acts.
Okay.
I was so afraid you had frozen again there for a minute. I panicked.
Okay. I was thinking.
Like, no moving, no breathing, nothing. I thought, oh, we're done again.
Is it A? A is my answer.
Did you see Darren held off until you committed on that one? You
good
got
job,
it. Yeah,
Amy.
That is correct.
I thought he would hold off on that, so I made sure I was confident.
That was the most torture, having nothing to do with you personally, Amy. That was the most torturous question we've ever done on the game show, but you are correct.
Good job. Yeah, absolutely. And it's important for our listeners and viewers to distinguish between the particular judgment and the general judgment at the end of time. Many people will ask, does that mean we are judged again at the general judgment? And the answer is no. The general judgment is basically, for all intents and purposes, the public manifestation of our particular judgments and what our eternal destinies are, whether heaven or hell. So good job, Amy. Fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sorry for that a little glitch there, Amy, because I know that adds to your anxiety. So you didn't do anything and you were fine. So on we go. But I know that ups the heart rate whenever that happens, and you know you're supposed to be on the air. Jim, here's your question number 3 from round 1. Jim, what is an eparchy? A, a violation of church law. B, a church court. Or C, the Eastern Catholic equivalent of a diocese. Once again, Jim, what is an eparchy? A, any violation of church law. B, a church court. Or C, the Catholic equivalent to a diocese.
It's C, the Eastern.
Oh, did I forget? I forgot to say Eastern.
To a diocese.
You got it.
That's
despite
right.
My mistake. I panicked there for a second because as I was reading, I thought, Jim just froze. That's it. Jim froze. But he wasn't. He was just listening. But I'm in panic mode now, Jim. Nice job. Nicely done.
Okay.
Amy, your question number 3 from round 1. Amy, in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the death penalty is described as A, contrary to the moral law, B, inadmissible, or C, malicious. Once again, in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the death penalty is described as A, contrary to the moral law, B, inadmissible, or C, malicious.
A.
Oh, sorry, Amy. Sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
That was a trick one. That was a trick one. Yeah, because the correct answer is B, inadmissible.
Inadmissible.
That's the language that the new version, I think it's paragraph 2267 of the Catechism, uses, that Pope Francis initiated. Now, the question becomes, and that was a tricky question on Sy's part, because the question is, does inadmissible mean contrary to the moral law? That is to say, intrinsically evil in and of itself. And the answer is no. In it, the language of inadmissibility implies that the death penalty, although in some circumstances and it can be used and in and of itself is intrinsically just, in our circumstances, in this particular historical period, the Pope has concluded we ought not to use it, and thereby it's inadmissible. And so inadmissibility does not imply immorality, like in and of itself, contrary to the natural moral law or intrinsically evil. So that was a tough one, and good try. Yeah.
Sorry, it was a tough one. I never know. I honestly never know which ones are going to be the tough ones, but we are in a tight, tight contest. This is almost as tight as it could be. 3-2 right now. Jim ahead by 1 point as we head into round two. And we have time to get a question or two in for round two before we have to take the break. So on we go, because we had a little pause there earlier. I'm just going to keep moving. Jim, here's question number one from part two. What is the central mystery of Catholic faith? A, the Immaculate Conception. B, the Real Presence. C, the Trinity. Once again, Jim, what is the central mystery of Catholic faith? A, the Immaculate Conception. B, the Real Presence. Or C, the Trinity?
I believe that it's C, the Trinity.
Darren was waiting because you did that I believe thing.
And Darren got him, man.
Darren was like,
what? I got that wrong?
Darren was just waiting for him to commit. Like we asked Amy to commit. And he, I believe. Oh, well, it's not about what you believe, Jim. What's your answer? Yeah. Carlo, not the real presence?
No, not the real presence, because our Lord in the real presence, our belief in the Lord as divine is rooted in the Trinity, right? So the divinity of the Son is understood against the backdrop of or in light of his generation from the Father, which implies the Father and the Son, and the spiration of the Holy Spirit from the Father and the Son. So the Trinity is the central mystery from which everything else that we believe flows. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church affirms this in paragraph 234 when it says, the mystery of the Most Holy Trinity is the central mystery of Christian faith and life.
I got time to get at least one more in, so I'm going to go to Amy. But I forgot to remind you both what lifelines you have left. So, Jim, you still have the 50-50. Amy, you still have both of yours, the 50-50 and the tell me the answer. And we have just three questions left. Question number one of round two for Amy. Amy, who said, be imitators of me? A, King David. B, Jesus. C, the Apostle Paul. Once again, who said, be imitators of me? A, King David. B, Jesus. Or C, the Apostle Paul?
Let's use a lifeline.
Okay, which one you want to use?
Pig Latin.
Pig Latin. All right, Carlo, give her the answer in Pig Latin.
Okay, so here you go, Amy. So here we go. Pasolai ope. Pasolai ope.
So, Amy, is that King David, Jesus, or the Apostle Paul?
The Apostle Paul.
That's right. The Apostle Paul, you are correct. Not Jesus, Carlo?
Well, yeah, I mean, Jesus wants us to imitate him, but specifically, Paul does say in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. And we all strive to be able to say that, right? Could we say that of ourselves? Do we live a life of holiness to where we could say be imitators of me as I am of Christ. I don't know if I can say that yet, but I'm working on it.
Well, I mean, there's, I mean, in maybe, I guess, maybe not in the perfect sense, you couldn't say it, but like, you know, you've accepted the Catholic, you've done these basic things. You've accepted the Catholic faith. Christ is your savior. You receive the sacraments. Yeah. So in all those ways, I would be an imitator of you. And in philosophy, Carlo, I would be an imitator of you.
Hey, man, you're getting better at it, Si. You're on your way, brother.
I think we started out pretty low. I think getting better is okay, but we started out pretty low. All right, it's a tight game right now. It's the Catholic Answers game show. Carlo Broussard is our guest. Amy in Kentucky and Jim in Ohio are our contestants, and we're just 1 point. Well, there is just 1 point separating the two of them. So hope you're playing along at home. You can continue to play along at home and find out who's going on to their final judgment right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Why We're Catholic is the one book you can hand to anyone to invite them into or back to the Catholic faith. With more than 400,000 copies sold, Trent Horn's book has had a number one ranking on Amazon.com for 5 years running. Now available in softcover, bulk cases, ebook, and on Audible. Find out what the excitement is all about. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic at shop.catholic.com or visit whywearecatholic.com.
Is relativism dead? It sure seems dead. Each day, new moral demands are made and they are presented to us as absolutes. Everything from transgender ideology to physician-assisted suicide is presented as a moral good that all right-thinking people must accept. But Catholic Answers' own Carlo Broussard says look deeper, and you will see today's moralism is just relativism dressed up in new clothes. Carlo's eye-opening book, The New Relativism, shines a light on how the sacred moral teachings of this age cover up a deep denial of moral truth. Order your copy of The New Relativism today at shop.catholic.com and be prepared to defend the truth against aggressive relativism. The New Relativism at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
When the resurrected Jesus appeared to disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him until the breaking of the bread. The same is true today. In the Holy Eucharist, we really meet Jesus. In The Eucharist is Really Jesus, author Joe Heschmeyer explains how knowing Jesus in the Eucharist is the key to understanding all of Christian faith. Order your copy of The Eucharist is Really Jesus today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers game show on a Friday afternoon. Carlo Broussard, our guest. Amy in Kentucky, Jim in Ohio, our contestants. I'm Si Kellett, your Catholic Answers game show host. And right now we are on question two of round two, and each contestant has their 50-50 lifeline left. Which saint, Jim, is known for his theological writings, including the Summa Theologica? A, St. Augustine, B, St. Thomas Aquinas, or C, St. Ignatius of Loyola. Once again, which saint is known for his theological writings, including the Summa Theologica? A, St. Augustine, B, St. Thomas Aquinas, or C, St. Ignatius of Loyola?
I'm going to answer B, St. Thomas Aquinas.
Got that one right, brother. Si, I don't have much to say other than
this is the first time
I love it.
This is the first time that the name St. Thomas Aquinas has been mentioned, and you didn't have much to say about
it. Like it. I love it. I want some more of it. I'll say that.
All right.
My best philosophical explanation possible.
Is that a Miley Cyrus song he was singing?
I don't know.
Is that who sings?
It's like somebody. Some country singer says
does
that.
Does anybody know who sings? Oh, Darren's going to look it up for us. We're about to know. I know it's not Miley Cyrus. I know it's not Miley Cyrus. I was only joking, but I don't know who sings. And you don't know Edgar? All right, let's do question number two for Tim McGraw.
Yeah, that's it.
You don't just say Tim McGraw. You say the great Tim McGraw. You never just say Tim McGraw. All right.
I'm glad that wasn't my question.
Oh, it was. It was. You got it wrong, Amy. Sorry about that. Here's your question. Amy, which saint is known for his early development of the Catholic just war theory? A, St. Augustine. B, St. Justin Martyr. Or C, St. Ignatius of Loyola. Once again, Amy, which saint is known for his early development of the Catholic just war theory? A, St. Augustine. B, St. Justin Martyr. Or C, St. Ignatius of Loyola.
Let's use our 50-50.
50-50, Carlo.
All right. I will eliminate St. Ignatius of Loyola.
All right. So it's either St. Augustine or St. Justin Martyr.
It is St. Justin Martyr.
So close.
No. I'm sorry, Amy. I didn't know which one to eliminate there because both I could have went either way, but it's St. Augustine.
I was confident it was not St. Augustine.
Oh, you were? Yeah, so no matter what happened, you were not going to pick St. Augustine?
I was not going to pick that, no.
Oh, yeah, he is kind of famous for this.
Yeah, wow. In his reply to Faustus the Manichaean in Book 22 and also in his famous work, The City of God, Book 22, he actually uses the term of just war, so it goes back to the third and fourth, well, whenever he wrote The City of God, I can't remember, maybe the late third, early fourth century. So the term goes back, but he also articulates a few of the criteria that the church specifies in her teaching concerning when these criteria are met, then you can have a just war. So yes, St. Augustine, and of course, St. Thomas Aquinas would pick up on that and articulate it as well. Yeah,
I have so much to learn.
Oh yeah, that's the thing is though, it is endless. These guys are professionals, and I have seen their faces when the question comes in and they don't know the answer. They're like, man, I never even thought of that one before. All right, here we go with your last question of round two, Jim. Where am I?
Yes.
Okay, which pope provoked lasting controversy with his encyclical Humanae Vitae? Jim, which pope provoked lasting controversy with his encyclical Humanae Vitae? Was it Pope John Paul II, Pope Paul VI, or Pope John the 23rd? I got to read it one more time. Which pope provoked lasting controversy with his encyclical Humanae Vitae? Pope John Paul II, Pope Paul VI, or Pope John the 23rd?
It was Humanae Vitae, Pope Paul VI.
Woohoo! Absolutely. Good job, Jim. Fantastic there.
What was it about, Carlo?
Well, let's ask Jim that question. He's the expert here.
All right.
Well, roughly it was about human sexuality.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
And the church's prohibition of contraception. And the church is teaching that contraception undermines God's design for human sexuality. It's contrary to the natural moral law. So, you know, Amy, we were talking about things earlier about whether it's the contrary to the moral law. This is one issue that is contrary to the natural moral law and thus can never be approved or justified or declared to be good.
All right, Amy.
Contraception,
that is. Contraception, yeah. Your last question of round three, Amy. Which pope initiated the Second Vatican Council? A, Pope Pius IX. B, Pope Paul VI. Or C, Pope John the 23rd. Once again, which pope initiated the Second Vatican Council? Pope Pius IX, Pope Paul VI, or Pope John the 23rd? Amy froze again.
I didn't freeze.
No, I know. I'm just messing with you.
Can you repeat the answers?
Yes, I can. And I will repeat the answers with no inflection in my voice. Pope Pius IX, Pope Paul VI, Pope John the 23rd. Which one is it, Amy? Which do you think it might have been?
Pope John the 23rd.
Nicely done. Pope John the 23rd started the Second Vatican. I realize as I'm reading it, the main pope of the council is Paul the VI. I think 3 years out of four, he's the pope of the council, but initiated it. It was John the 23rd. Was it a good council or a bad council, Carlo?
Good council.
Have we ever had a bad council?
No. Now, with regard to your whether
the behavior.
whether certain things are expressed better than others at certain councils, that's subject for debate, you know. But good counsel, bad counsel, good counsel. Yeah.
Well, that brings us to the end of round two. Has the supercomputer done the math? Yes. And Jim is going on to his final judgment. So, unfortunately, this is where we say goodbye to Amy. And somebody needs to tell me what gifts I'm giving her. What am I giving Amy? We already gave her the new relativism. What other gifts are we giving? I don't know what you guys said. Okay, we're giving her the whole Carlo Broussard library, and we'll give her my book, A Teacher of Strange Things. I almost said somebody else's book title. And you know what? Let's give her Joe's book, The Early Church Was the Catholic Church, as well. So you're getting a whole library of Catholic Answers books. Amy,
wow.
You were a great sport and a lot of fun. I'm sorry that we dropped you out briefly, but thank you for playing.
That's all right. I kind of wish I would have had some James questions. Because I knew the answers to his.
Oh, I know exactly how that goes. That is me. Anytime there is a contest, I'm like, know that one. Then my question comes, I'm like, well, come on, man. Can I have Well, sorry about that, Amy. It just fell
all
the way that it
well,
fell.
Well, good luck to you, James.
Oh, thank you, Amy.
It's going to happen to all of us, and it's about to happen to James. He's about to face his final judgment.
Final judgment.
We'll do that right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
In Morse code, the sequence SOS is a distress call. It's been said that it stands for Save Our Souls. Well, right now our world is in big trouble, and we're putting out an SOS call for help. Will you answer that call? St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, has hundreds of teams who share the good news with souls who don't know Jesus. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to get involved.
This is Father Romeo Fajardo. Dear friends, if we understand the power of radio, then we can understand that the gospel can be made very real, very convincing, powerful enough to send shockwaves throughout the whole country and indeed the whole world. Catholic radio is necessary in order that the gospel be sent throughout all the world, and most importantly, a convincing witness of Christ's presence here on earth.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. It's the game show today. That's why we have the cool game show music. And we are now, Jim has survived round one and round two. And it is time for Jim's final judgment. Jim, do you feel prepared for the final judgment?
No.
Okay. You know what? That's the best way to go into your final judgment, feeling unprepared. If you're feeling prepared, there might be something wrong. All right. There's 7 true or false questions. And for each question, before I read the question, I will tell you the prize you're playing for. And if you get that question right, you get that prize. If you get all 7 correct, you get a bonus prize, which is a course at our Catholic Answers School of Apologetics. We'll give it to you for free, any course that you want to take in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics, which you can find at schoolofapologetics.com. All right, Jim, you ready? Here comes your first true or false question.
Okay.
All right. You are playing for Joe Heschmeyer's book, The Early Church Was the Catholic Church. True or false, Jim? And by the way, let me read them twice again. True or false, Jim? The doctrine of papal primacy asserts that the Pope is considered infallible in prudential and disciplinary matters. Once again, Jim, the doctrine of papal primacy asserts that the Pope is considered infallible in prudential and disciplinary matters.
That is false.
Wait.
Fantastic.
He's primacy. What does it mean then, Carlo, if it doesn't mean that? papal primacy.
Jim, would you like to answer that question?
Oh my gosh, are you even awake today, Carlo? Carlo's napping and then saying, "Jim, hey, how about you do my job?"
Absolutely.
All right, Jim. Let's hear your thinking on it, Jim.
Is that he's infallible in matters of faith and morals?
That's right. You got it, Jim, my friend. Yep. So not infallible in prudential and disciplinary matters. He is subject to not being prudent, right? Subject to issuing a disciplinary matter that is not the best. And some will dispute that with regard to whether a disciplinary matter can actually be something that would cause us to sin. There are some theologians who go back and forth as to whether the Pope can actually do that, given the holiness of the Church. But infallibility, what we do know, protects the Pope from teaching something to the Church in the definitive way on matters of faith and morals. And by definitive meaning, it's unchanging, it's true, and we're bound to accept it as infallible. And so that's the sort of the boundaries of the charism of infallibility.
And that, because I said the doctrine of papal primacy, so infallibility is related to primacy?
Yes, precisely because the Pope can exercise the charism of infallibility on his own.
Oh,
so
gotcha.
Infallibility extends, includes both Pope and bishops, bishops united to Pope, infallibly declaring something to be true, matters of faith and morals that we're bound to believe. But papal primacy or supremacy, if we could say that, I think that adequately captures his authority, is that he is able to invoke the charism of infallibility on his own without the bishops consenting to what he's teaching.
Jim is our contestant. Jim's in Ohio. We are one down and one success, six more to go in your final judgment. Jim, this one you're playing for Carlo Broussard's book, Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. True or false, Jim, the doctrine of the Immaculate Conception states that Jesus was conceived without original sin. Once again, true or false, the doctrine of the Immaculate Conception states that Jesus was conceived without original sin.
That is false.
You did not. You were like hemming and hawing on that one, which by the way sounds great on radio. Hemming and hawing both sound great on radio, but you knew that was false. But you were what were you doing? Trying to make sure that you had heard it right or what?
No, they were. They were both conceived without original sin. That's
yes.
So I had to make sure it was about Mary. Being conceived without original sin, and I remembered, that's the Immaculate Conception.
Right.
Very good. I'm impressed with your process. All right, this one, question number three, you're playing for my book, so do not get this one wrong. A Teacher of Strange Things, who Jesus was, what he taught, and why people still follow him. True or false, Jim, the Council of Trent was a significant That's not going to work if I talk like that. The Council of Trent was a significant ecumenical council in the 16th century that addressed many issues raised by the Protestant Reformation. Once again, the Council of Trent was a significant ecumenical council in the 16th century that addressed many issues raised by the Protestant Reformation.
True.
Good job, man. He's on a roll, Si.
I know. No hesitation there. No.
Yeah, and many of those issues we're still debating today with our Protestant brothers and sisters. Some of those issues we've come to agreement on, but some of those issues are still debated. The ministerial priesthood within the church, the sacrificial nature of the Mass, the relation that faith and works have with regard to our salvation and where works come into play. And the denial of the proposition of faith alone when understood that faith is without charity or works of charity. So a host of issues that the Council of Trent had to deal with that we're still dealing with today. And we're grateful in God's providence for the Council of Trent in giving us a variety of infallible teachings, many of which had never been declared infallibly by an ecumenical council and maybe understood to be by way of the ordinary universal magisterium. And so one particular example being the canon of scripture prior to the Council of Trent, we did not have an infallible declaration by the church concerning the canon. We had common teaching, but infallibility was invoked at the Council of Trent to give us the canon. And so that's an interesting detail that's worthy of thought.
Jim, this is question number four. So far, you're perfect. And now you're playing for Jimmy Akin's book, The Bible is a Catholic Book. True or false, Jim? The assumption of Mary includes the belief that Mary never died. Once again, true or false, Jim? The assumption of Mary includes the belief that Mary never died.
False.
Dang. Well, could you at least make it seem hard? I mean, just pretend like...
yeah, he didn't hesitate on that
one. No, he didn't. I thought that it did, Carlo. I didn't actually think this, but I'm playing my part.
No, in Pope Pius the 12th's definition of Mary's bodily assumption in 1950 stated at the end of her earthly life. And so the end of her earthly life can be taken as physical death or just whenever her earthly term came to an end, which doesn't necessarily imply death. So the language that Pius XII used leaves open that question as to whether Mary in fact died or not. And that's something that Catholics are permitted to, these are two positions or opinions that Catholics are permitted to have.
All right, on we go. This one you are playing for, the Secrets from Heaven. That's a beautiful book by Father Sebastian Walsh, meditating on the parables and sayings of Jesus. You're going to love this book. So this is question number five, true or false? The term apostolic succession refers to the belief that bishops have received their authority through an unbroken line of ordination dating back to the original apostles. Once again, true or false, the term apostolic succession refers to the belief that bishops have received their authority through an unbroken line of ordination dating back to the original apostles.
I would say that's true.
Absolutely. Si, I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
Whenever you created that question, what were you thinking of another possible understanding of apostolic succession that might trip the contestant up?
Okay, so here's what my thinking was. Every now and then, you got to throw a question in just in case the person is completely ignorant of the Catholic faith and is having a terrible day. So you got to throw it in there for the person who goes, you know, I probably should have become a Catholic before I took this quiz, you know, something like that.
Bless you, Si.
Because you know what?
That's legit, man.
We never say you have to be Catholic to play. We never say that. So I don't know if we've ever had not. We've never asked that. We've never even asked, are you Catholic? So I'm thinking, okay, we get here and this guy's been a practicing Hindu his whole life. Throw something out that he's going to get a prize for. All right.
There you go.
So, in short, my answer is love of Hindus. That's my answer.
I love your answer, Si. That hey, man, okay. There doesn't have to be some implied opposition to the statement, right?
What you said, though, basically, your question basically said was, why did you put that ridiculously obvious question in there? That's what you asked me. I got to go quick. I'm going to run out of time,
okay,
and then
hurry up,
and then
hurry
we
up,
won't get all of Jim's questions in. Jim, number six, true or false? Playing for, Behold Your Mother. We haven't done a Tim Staples book. Behold Your Mother. You're playing for Behold Your Mother. Jim, the Catholic Church teaches that both faith and good works are necessary for salvation, rejecting the idea of salvation by faith alone. Again, true or false, the Catholic Church teaches that both faith and good works are necessary for salvation, rejecting the idea of salvation by faith alone.
I'll go with true.
I'm glad you finally moved. Like, once again, Jim, I'm panicking every time you're still and quiet like that. Carlo?
It seems so bluntly stated. I wondered if
again, you're
trick.
Saying my questions are so easy. Why do I even bother asking them?
I actually gave the answer to the question away a few moments ago when I was talking about the Council of Trent. I just realized I was like, oh, I already gave the answer. I didn't realize this question was coming up.
All right, so no prize then, Jim. No prize on that one. You're getting nothing. for that.
Yeah, one quick note side before we move on. It's important to note that works come into play for our salvation after we're already initiated into the body of Christ, ordinarily through the sacrament of baptism. Works do not contribute or merit our salvation prior to being a member of the mystical body of Christ. Once we have the principle of charity, once we have charity in our soul, then we have a principle in virtue of which our works can tie into and bring about our salvation.
Jim, thank you for insulting my questions. I'm going to give you a hard question now. After the death of the apostle Judas, the apostles had to choose between two men to replace Judas. Name the one who wasn't chosen. Just kidding. That's too hard. I'm only joking. I'm not giving you that one. I got to go look that up myself. I have no idea who it was. Do you guys know? Somebody look that up. Who's the apostle? Who's the guy that wasn't chosen to be the apostle? All right. True or false, Jim? We're playing for the Eucharist is really Jesus. Joe Heschmeyer's new book. True or false? The Catholic Church recognizes the validity of baptisms performed in other Christian denominations as long as they follow proper form, matter, and intention. Once again, true or false, the Catholic Church recognizes the validity of baptisms performed in other Christian denominations as long as they follow the proper form, matter, and intention.
True.
Congratulations, Jim. I feel insulted by the way you said true. I feel like you're insulting me by like, true, that is the dumbest, easiest question ever. But I guess I might have fallen down on my job here at the end. But
Can I speak representing other contestants?
Yes.
I have no problem with questions that seem easy.
Oh, okay. So you're representing the whole. I see. It's like a negotiation.
Like,
yes, you're representing.
Softball.
Right. Carlo, just let us know, and then I will go through Jim's prizes. Proper form, matter, and intention. What does that mean?
Yes, proper matter, water, proper form, Trinitarian formula. I baptize you in the name, singular, of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Proper intention, which basically is a bottom line thing. Do what the church does. That's all intention means, or to do what Jesus commands us to do. This is why we acknowledge the validity of baptisms even by atheists or a non-Catholic Christian. They just simply have to have proper form and matter and intend to do what the churches do. Even if they do not believe the theology of baptism, or they just don't know what the theology of baptism is.
Yeah, so it's just basic. You got to intend to do what the church does when it baptizes.
Yep. Yeah. Jesus said do it, and I'm doing it because Jesus said it. Church says do it, I'm doing it because the church said to do it, and that's sufficient.
Yeah. He really wants us in the church. He made it very easy to get
in. And this gets back to the born-again discourse in John 3:3-5. Unless you're born again of water and spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. The necessity of baptism demands sort of this general application of the sacrament of baptism. That's why the church is so generous with it and her understanding of it.
Jim from Ohio, let me just tell you your gifts. You already know you got the new relativism earlier. You and Amy both got that. But the early church was the Catholic Church. Prepare the way, overcoming obstacles to God, the gospel in the church. A teacher of strange things, who Jesus was, what he taught, and why people still follow him. The Bible is a Catholic book. Secrets from heaven. Oh my gosh. I don't even know what you got for number six. You get the Eucharist is really Jesus. Oh, you got for number six, it was Tim Staples' book, Behold Your Mother. And you get a free course, which you don't need apparently, in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics. Congratulations, Jim. It was a stunning victory on your part.
Oh, thank you very much.
Cy, whenever you said your book, he gave a thumbs up. But guess what? He didn't do that for mine. So kudos to you, brother.
Oh, thank you, Jim. Thank you very much.
Thumbs up to yours too, Carlo.
God bless you, Jim. Thank you so much, buddy.
Thank you, Carlo. I appreciate that. I'm gonna. I know we're gonna do another game show before the end of the year, and the questions are gonna be so hard. The people who are on that game show are gonna be miserable. They're not gonna get any of these things. And it's all gonna involve declining the declination of Latin verbs. The whole quiz is gonna be Latin verbs. Get ready if you want to play in the Catholic Answers Game Show. It's coming your way. Jim, thank you again. Carlo, thank you again. That does it for us. That was an awful lot of fun. Oh, also a big thank you to Amy, who was a wonderful guest and who I know we shot adrenaline through her system when we cut her out a little bit, but she did a great job. And apparently the kids stayed asleep, so she was able to stay with us. We'll see you next time, God willing, right here. on Catholic Answers Live.